Good morning. Would you pray with me as we stand, as I stand? Father, may I speak in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Small child says very rude word in public, and parents are embarrassed and try to shut her up, but the grandparents just laugh heartily. Parents, sternly to the grandparents, don't laugh, it just encourages her. Well, encouragement is our topic for today. Encouragement comes from being noticed, from being affirmed by a good response to you, by being told that you are or you are doing something good, something commendable, something which perhaps nobody else can do. Encouragement comes from being included in the group. Discouragement comes from being ignored, being told you are useless, worthless, being excluded from the group, having no reward for your efforts. Encouraging someone is not about perjuring yourself with exaggerated praise for something mediocre they've done, but it is about noticing what they have done, thanking them for their contribution, getting alongside them to offer support and encouragement for perhaps how they could improve what they did. Whenever someone is new to a task or a skill, it requires huge encouragement to keep going after sometimes perhaps a shaky start. Discouraging embarrassment is what often drives people away. It drives people away from coming to church because they may feel that they're not sure when they're supposed to stand up and sit down. And it drives people from house group studies because they can't find something called Habakkuk in the Bible quickly enough. And it drives them to give up volunteering for something when their efforts are criticized or ridiculed. To be an encourager takes kindness and huge patience. It requires time to come alongside someone and get to know them and their strengths and their weaknesses. It takes humility to stand by patiently and watch someone take an hour to do what you could finish in 5 minutes. Because like teaching, it works better when the encourager can remember what it felt like to be unable to do that thing themselves, to remember what failure felt like, and how the slightest success helps you turn the corner. The passage we heard, the first one from the Bible, comes from a letter written to some people in a place called Thessalonica, and it dates from the early days after Jesus was on earth, when there was huge expectation of his imminent return. When that did not happen straight away, the leaders of the church had to encourage the Christians to keep going. He had to encourage them to be prepared. He had to say, don't fall asleep on the job, so to speak. Well, Jesus still hasn't yet returned, and we still need encouragement to be alert for his coming. We do this especially once a year at the season of Advent, but we should always have that idea in the back of our minds. And I'm sure that many Christians who live under persecution desperately need encouragement to keep going until that moment when they feel their sorrows will be over. They need encouragement to hold the faith and be a light for others to follow. I've never been persecuted for my faith. I wonder how encouraging I'd be under those circumstances. I fear I'd be likely to lose heart myself, let alone be able to encourage others. But that's what Christians in every century have had to do somewhere at some time. So what makes us feel that we need encouragement today. A Christian in a prison cell in North Korea might think we've got nothing to worry about or complain about. But he or she might not understand the pressures that lie on us in this culture. Pressures at work to do more, produce more, in the same time and with no more resources. The financial stress of inflation and austerity. The devastation of perhaps losing my home. The tragedy of losing a loved one or finding that a loving partner doesn't love you anymore. The daily fear of gangs influencing your teenage children to join in a culture of violence. And if we don't identify with any of that, then maybe it's back to where we started. Are we being part of a church where we don't feel encouraged? We may not feel affirmed or recognized. But the church should be the very place where we are recognized, both in our outward appearance and hopefully our names, and also recognized for the skills we have to offer. An actor who is recognized for her skills may be given an Oscar or made a Dame. How do we recognize one another's skills in our church community? I think some of the best things about church life is when we put on plays and concerts and ask for volunteers to take part, suddenly a lot of talent is recognized. Responding to an appeal for help for a Beeson project suddenly shines light on the gardening or the woodwork skills of people. And the more we do together, the more we share each other's lives and are delighted with each other, the more we see each other's capabilities and share them and tap in on them for the good reasons of serving together. But some people are naturally shy. Some are naturally humble and rather retiring, and some lack in confidence. So they may not be too keen to offer themselves, but they might be perfectly willing to help if asked. Part of our culture as a community is to get to know each other so that we can encourage what we've seen of the gifts of others. And one of the most important applications of this is recognizing when someone appears to have gifts that might lead to training in ministry in the church and encouraging them to explore a possible vocation in that direction. And encouragement is so needed, as we've mentioned at the beginning, in the nurturing of those who are new to faith and have a lot of catching up to do. A few sessions over coffee to show someone the basics of getting round the Bible might just kickstart them into a deep study of the Bible. Perhaps kickstart is the wrong metaphor. It's a bit violent. Sorry, I've been watching too much rugby this morning. Perhaps going along with someone to a Christian basics course, giving them that company, might just help them over the initial contact with churchy stuff that they're not used to. But I think that most of you know all this already. What's more tricky to handle is our own discouragement in our Christian lives when things go pear-shaped. And they will do, because that's life. We live in a broken world, God's beautiful creation spoiled and worn out and tired to a degree. Our own aspirations and hopes thwarted by circumstances and disappointments. Peace violated by wars and terrorism. Uncertainty hanging over us. That's human life, and Christians live it alongside everyone else. We don't get special treatment. Jesus never did either. And we follow him through that broken world. But the difference is that he asks us to help change it, bit by bit, as we bring his kingdom into being every time we act justly and do mercy and walk humbly with him. So when we're feeling sorely in need of encouragement ourselves, we remember this. We remember Jesus' own frustration at the lack of understanding of his disciples sometimes, but he kept on teaching them. We remember his disappointment when one close friend denied even knowing him, and the pain he must have felt when another betrayed him outright. We remember his rejection by the crowds who bayed for his blood, and his dying words to a fellow sufferer on an adjacent cross. And we remember, too, his commitment to us and his encouragement of those he led. After his resurrection, Jesus made a special surprise visit to some of his friends and disciples who, in their confusion about what on earth was going on, had gone back to fishing in the lake. Oh, they'd had a bad night's fishing. They'd caught nothing at all. Any fisherman will understand that discouragement. But Jesus transforms the situation. Standing on the shore, he suggests a different strategy to them. And then he watches them succeed and drag in a bumper catch. And then the very person who denied even knowing him is the first one to jump into the water and swim and rush to be with him. The next bit of encouragement Jesus did for them after a very trying night is the breakfast he cooks them. Encouragement can take a very practical guise sometimes. And I won't say bacon and egg because it wouldn't have been part of the culture, but whatever Jesus cooked for them, that's what they needed when they were cold and wet and hungry. But the shining example of encouragement here is his private conversation with that same disciple, whose name was Peter. Peter had disowned him. And Jesus doesn't entirely let him off the hook, to use a fishing analogy, but he helps him see what his previous action has done. He points out the inference of it. It looks like you don't love me, Peter. Do you? Love me, I mean. And what greater encouragement did Peter need than to be known that he was forgiven and given a new start? It came, you may have noticed, with a responsibility to lead and guide and feed Jesus' sheep, his people, his followers, and a warning also that he, Peter, would also give his life in the process. Did it put him off? No, because true encouragement brings courage to continue. We've all witnessed little Eleanor be baptized this morning. We have corporately said that we'll support and encourage her and her parents too in their Christian journey. Parenthood is one of the most important jobs anyone can take on. And boy, don't parents need encouragement these days. Let's stand behind this family and our own families and our families' families and our own church family here and the families that live near us as our neighbours. May we become encouragers to them, get to know their children. Who knows, one day their children may even teach us how to use our mobile phones. And most of all, may we encourage others to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to keep fit for his service. And now I want to encourage you to pray with me, if you will, as I finish. Most loving Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts. You know the things that lie ahead of us this week. You know the burdens and worries that we carry. Many of us here this morning will have heavy hearts and need encouragement to face the coming weeks and months. Please touch us with the encouragement that comes from knowing that you hold us in your gaze and are aware of all these things. Help us to look to you for courage, maybe for a change of strategy, and definitely for the strength to carry on. We ask all this in your name, Lord. Amen.